CBD Revolution. The world is discovering CBD and its potential for numerous health benefits. Hemp Fusion Wellness is the premier company looking at CBD with a whole food perspective. For the highest quality CBD oils and products for stress, sleep, energy, and topicals, it's Hemp Fusion. This CBD Revolution highlight has been brought to you by Hemp Fusion Wellness, U.S. trading symbol CBDHF, and in Canada, CBD.U. Web address, hempfusion.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek in the Hill. And we're very pleased to be joined by our colleague Charles Burton, Senior Fellow at the Center for Advancing Canada's Interests Abroad at the Macdonald Laurier Institute. Canada's interests abroad include warships. From these last days, the Chinese military on Sunday condemned the United States and Canada for each sending a warship through the Taiwan Strait, saying they were threatening peace and stability in the region. China claims democratically ruled Taiwan as its own territory and has mounted repeated Air Force missions into Taiwan's air defense identification zone. The U.S. military said the Arleigh Burke-class guided missile destroyer USS Dewey sailed through the narrow waterway that separates Taiwan from its giant neighbor with the Canadian frigate HMCS Winnipeg. Charles, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. Three cheers for the Winnipeg, its crew, and the Canadian Navy. Is this a celebration at home? Good evening to you, Charles.
Good evening. Well, I think that it's indicative of a split within the Canadian government between the military, who are very concerned about China's threat to global security and sovereignty, and the government at large, who has articulated a policy of coexist, compete, cooperate, and challenge China. So, you know, really coexist, compete, cooperate, and challenge really means capitulate to China's things that we don't like. You know, it goes along with the Chinese United Front Work Department narrative of set aside differences and seek common ground. But it means that we would give China a pass on things like the Uyghur genocide or Hong Kong or espionage or trap diplomacy, and including freedom of navigation in the South China Sea and through the Taiwan Straits. You know, Canada does not accept the PRC's definition of its maritime rights and interests. Under the terms of diplomatic recognition between Canada and China in 1970, Canada only acknowledges the PRC claim over Taiwan. Canada does not accept the assertion that Taiwan is legitimately a province of the PRC. And similarly, Canada upholds the Hague Court of Arbitration over the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea that the PRC's claims over the South China Sea are in violation of international law. But the Chinese embassy has responded with a threat, saying, well, first of all, China doesn't think that Canada should act as what it refers to as a cat's paw of others. In other words, we shouldn't be cooperating with the United States. And they said the Canadian side should proceed from its own interests and overall situation of China-Canadian relations, which is an implied threat that China will retaliate through economic and diplomatic coercion, you know, to on the basis that it has to safeguard its national sovereignty and territorial integrity. And I don't even expect China to make up some false justification for imposition of non-tariff barriers or you know, maybe more outrages like kidnapping Canadians who have strayed into the People's Republic of China. I think China is beyond not claiming that it's exceptional and able to, you know, violate the norms of diplomacy and trade. And certainly, with regard to Taiwan, this is a nationalistic issue that the Chinese government, uses to deflect, domestic concerns over the failing Chinese economy and repression. So, you know, I'm glad that Canada's doing it. I'm glad that Canada's working with the United States. But, it doesn't mean that that we can see a smooth relationship between Canada and the United States with regard to China, because the Canadian government seems to be determined to appease the People's Republic of China for domestic reasons.
Gordon, just a detail about this boast of that the PRC makes about it being our province. Has that long been a boast of previous general secretaries, Hu Jintao, dating back to Mao? Have they said this repeatedly? Is it holy writ for the Chinese communists?
Well, this really has been part of Communist Party longstanding position. Mao, by the way, was actually sort of ambiguous about Taiwan, and at one point was willing to let it go. Afterwards, it's been hardened into firm Chinese doctrine.
You have a question for Charles.
Charles, sending the Winnipeg through the Taiwan Strait doesn't sound like Justin Trudeau. Did he approve of this, or is this something that the Canadian military can do on its own?
I don't think that this got the approval of the Prime Minister's office or the Ministry of Global Affairs. I think this is something that the military is doing. And, you know, the apologists for the PRC, both largely government related, have been in effect apologizing, suggesting that this can only inflame relations between Canada and the PRC, and that it will do no good because Canada's not a strong enough power to make a difference. You know, in other words, they'd like us to simply appease and allow the United States to deal with important matters of security. I mean, this is a morally bankrupt perspective in my view. I would say that, you know, following on what you said about Taiwan, of course, Mao was also ambiguous with regard to the status of Tibet and the Uyghur regions, you know, Turkestan. I think in the early years of the regime, there was some notion that the self-determination of peoples was a principle that the communists could support. And I think, you know, morally, in terms of Taiwan, the government of Taiwan has been elected by a free and fair election and enjoys the mandate of the people of Taiwan and is therefore, without question, a legitimate regime. And so, of course, we should be defending democracy in Taiwan. And it does offer the hope that democracy could come to another Confucian-based society like the People's Republic of China. So, you know, I very much support what Canada is doing, and I hope we'll do more of it.
The threat that we can interpret from the embassy of China in Canada, is this routine now, the way they're going to talk, the way the Chinese wolf warriors talk to Canada? Nothing exceptional here, or is there a pattern break?
I think that it's the way that China's talking to lesser powers. I mean, of course, Australia has been the gold standard example of China's retaliation over Australia's audacity in suggesting that it would be a good idea if there was a neutral international investigation of the origins of COVID-19, something that China opposes to an extent that suggests that they have a lot to hide there. So I think that this is the new normal in an emboldened China that wants to demonstrate to its people that it is a rising superpower and will eventually overtake the United States to become the global hegemon. That's their doctrine. I don't think that we should be counting out, you know, the U.S. So soon. I think the United States is still a gleaming beacon of democracy.
Gordon, China's insisting upon driving us together. Is that the intention in Beijing? Put Canada, the U.S., the U.K., France, Australia, Japan, I could go on. Put them all together and we win? Is that the plan?
I think that Xi Jinping believes that he can do whatever he wants. Obviously, the wolf warrior diplomats in private moments think that his policies are really counterproductive for China. Yeah. Because it's doing what you're saying, driving all of China's potential adversaries into real adversaries. But Xi Jinping is basically still getting his way. So China will continue to engage in counterproductive policies.
We have a minute or so, Gordon, for Charles.
Charles, on a different subject, where is Canada now on Huawei for incorporation in Canada's 5G networks?
Oh, that, you know, I'm despairing over this. The government is claiming they need to defer the decision a few more weeks. My concern is that, you know, a Friday before Christmas, when Parliament is resting for for a few weeks that the government will announce that they will allow Huawei into the periphery of our telecommunications system. The periphery core distinction is really not very meaningful in terms of Huawei's ability to engage, to facilitate, you know, downloading of databases and potentially disabling critical infrastructure that would be controlled by the 5G. So I am very concerned that after 3 years, the Canadian government refuses to make a decision on Huawei. And this being the last term for Justin Trudeau, most likely it's possible that we'll see more and more appeasement towards China because of, what the members of government may plan to do in retirement, which is to benefit from Chinese thank yous for not bringing Canada closer to China, not opposing China's overall agenda for North America.
Three cheers for the Winnipeg. Charles Burton, Senior Fellow at the Center for Advancing Canada's Interests Abroad at the Macdonald Laurier Institute. I give a cheer for Charles as well. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek and The Hill. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.